Hello everyone, nice to be here. Welcome. We're continuing our series on the Holy Spirit. And so far we have been looking at speaking in the gift of tongues. We've been looking at prophecy. And last week we were looking at the gift of discernment. And this morning we are going to be looking at hearing God's voice. Hearing the voice of God. We're going to look at a couple of things. We're going to look at how does God speak to us? Recognizing his voice and responding to his voice. Fantastic. So, as we know that throughout history, God has spoken, because our God is a communicating God. Whether it be like Elijah through a whisper, or Samuel through an audible voice, or like Joseph through dreams, or Moses through a burning bush, or Mary through an angel, our God speaks to humankind because he is a God that communicates and wants to be involved in our everyday lives. And so we're looking today at how does God speak to us and hearing his voice in our everyday life. It's not just for the people in the Bible back then, but we can hear God's voice today for our own lives and for his purposes in our lives here together. God speaks and still speaks today, and the issue is sometimes, often, do we have ears to hear? I'm going to read a little story to you. I've been reading a book, and it's called Whisper, The Power of a Whisper, Hearing God and Having the Guts to Respond. This book is written by Bill Hybels, who is an author, and he is also the senior pastor of Willow Creek Church in Chicago in America, which thousands of people go to, and he's a lovely guy, approaching his 60s now, and he's recently written this book about the ways in which God has spoken in and to him over his years. And so this is an account of an everyday situation where in the morning he prayed a prayer. Lord, if there's anything you want me to do today, whatever it is, Lord, I will do it. And he'd prayed that prayer in the morning, and he'd gone about his day. And I'll pick it up here. As we approached our car, he's talking about him and his wife, I spotted a frail, elderly woman pulling into the nearby apartment complex. She parked her car and began to slowly and laboriously pull grocery bags out of her trunk. How about helping that woman with her groceries? The Holy Spirit seemed to prompt. I initially brushed past the whisper because Lynn was with me and we were ready to go. But I had just made that offer to God that morning. If there is something you would like me to do today, Lord, for you, and I knew I had to comply. Lynn, I said, I've got this little pact going on with God and I need to help that woman with her groceries for a while. My wife tried to conceal her dumbfounded expression, but I saw it peeking through. You probably know the look, the one that says, you, living at your pace, helping someone you don't even know? Wow, it must be God. I approached the elderly woman. Can I give you a hand with your groceries? I asked. Oh, yes, thank you, she said, relieved. And the driveway leading back to her apartment recently had had some work and was roped off, meaning that residents had to walk a few hundred yards to get from their cars to their homes. I knew that this small act of kindness would honour God and help meet a real need. What I didn't know was that those grocery sacks held £30 each of fresh peaches. Pretending the added weight didn't affect me a bit, I said, "All set here, you lead the way." She began winding through backyards and that had become swamps due to recent rains. She was drenched and I was drenched. The woman was extremely arthritic and slow-moving. On top of that, she seemed to have emphysema that forced us to take a breather every 40 seconds or so. It took us a full 30 minutes to make our way to her apartment, and by the time we arrived, we were tight. I had learned more about this dear woman's life than I could ever hope to have known. We entered her home, and I made my way to the kitchen, set the sacks on the counter before turning to shake her hand, and then let myself out through the front door. The woman left her bony, wrinkled hand in mine long after the handshake was done. I will believe to my dying day that God sent you to help me today, she said. The whole deal felt so inglorious. The wet feet, the longer than expected trek, the lack of any earth-shattering results, and yet as I walked away from the apartment, something in my spirit felt right. God had whispered a simple instruction my way, and this time I had actually slowed down enough to listen. There is no greater feeling in the world than to hear and heed God's voice. Isn't that a lovely story? And I'm sure those kind of things happen to us on a regular basis. And sometimes do we stop and listen, or do we brush it off, or do we act? And like Bill said, there's nothing better in the world than knowing you've heeded the voice of God and been obedient to something he's asked us to do. Something small to us, but something really important and a real need in somebody else's life. Scripture is packed with examples of God speaking to humankind. And so we're going to look now at how does God speak to us? How does he speak to us? Well, first of all, God speaks to us through the Bible. We may read the Bible, which is like God's handbook for our lives. The Bible is God-breathed. He has written it, and it is packed with history, poems, and loads of fantastic stories and examples and principles for living a spiritual, godly Christian life. It helps us out in all kinds of pickles and can help us out in all decisions of life that we have to make. Sometimes we can be reading the Bible and a verse will kind of leap out at us and really speak into a situation or answer a question that we are asking ourselves. And sometimes it's really helpful that we memorize verses and scripture, because sometimes we can be going through something and those memory verses will come back. Even from a child, I can remember learning memory verses in Sunday school. And even now I'm reminded of some of those things, just like Tim this morning with the children. You know, we need to learn and memorize and recognize scripture, because God speaks through it to us in our lives. God can speak through our thoughts and conversations with others. Have you ever been in a conversation with somebody and something may be going on in your life and they say something, they say a word or a sentence, and that sentence they speak is just something that resonates within you and really speaks into your situation or your life. And so God can speak through our own thoughts and through our conversations with others. God speaks to us through our circumstances. And he also speaks to us through angels, like Mary and other various accounts in the Bible. We see and hear of the stories where God sent an angel, a messenger, to people to speak to them. And that is something that I know happens still today. God may send an angel to speak to us. God speaks through an audible voice. Like Paul on the Damascus Road, his name before Paul was Saul, because it was his mission to kill the Christians. He hated the Christians, and he was on a journey to Jerusalem to capture Christians and imprison them. And on his way on this journey, he was struck down by a flash of light from the sky, and an audible voice spoke to him. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" "Who is it, Lord?" said Saul. And the Lord said, "It is I, Jesus, whom you are persecuting." And as we read that story, Paul's life was changed on that day. And he lived then to serve God in amazing ways. And so God speaks through an audible voice at times. God can speak to us through his creation and through nature. Just a week or so ago, as I was preparing my talk for today and gathering some thoughts and things, I sat down at home. I thought, right, today I'm going to have a study day. I'm going to clear the decks and I'm going to spend the day reading, studying, researching. And I got up, had my coffee, and I was ready to go at 9 o'clock. Kids to school, I'm going to spend the whole day. And by 10 o'clock, I was sat down with my book and with my pen and with my Bible. I was getting nowhere. The phone was going. I knew there were emails to attend to. All the chores in the house were staring at me in the face, screaming out, "Please tidy me, please tidy me." And I thought, I can't concentrate. I've just got to get out. I need to be in a place where I have no distractions, where I can just hear God, you know, guide me and prompt me and help me put something together for the church. And so fortunately, I have a car and I was able to go into my car and drive just a few minutes down the road to the Lacha Estuary. And it was a beautiful day. The sun was shining. The birds were out singing. The tide was in, and it was just lovely. It was just me, my car, my worship CD, my books, and God's creation and nature all around me. No distractions. Going back to the picture, really. And it was there that I really sensed and heard God speak to me and give me some clarity and thoughts, and I was able to get some stuff down. And sometimes we need to kind of clear the decks and just to be in God's presence, in his creation, in nature, and just look around and just see him and all the wondrous things he has made and appreciate, where there are no other distractions, to be able to hear his voice. God speaks to us through like a sense in our spirit or like a prompting. And sometimes, just like the story I've read out really from Bill's book, he was prompted by God to go and help that lady. And sometimes in life, God speaks to us through a sense in our spirit or a prompting. And that feels like, you know, you've just got to go and do something. You just know you've got to do it. And it doesn't go away. And the thought doesn't go away. And you don't get peace until you kind of go and do that thing which you feel God may be saying to you. So God can speak to us in and through promptings. God speaks to us through prophecy, as we know, when we've been prayed for and God is giving a message to somebody for us or for a ministry or for a work here in the church. That is sometimes like a direct route of God speaking in and to our lives through another person, through the gift of prophecy. And that is fantastic. And we've seen that here in the church. And we've seen our lives be impacted by the prophetic word of God through other people here in the church. And that is a really powerful ministry and something that is really exciting. Obviously, we know God speaks to us as we pray to him through prayer and through our personal devotion, where we take time out to read our Bibles and to pray with him. And praying is like a conversation between us and God. And it's like, you know, you set that time aside, whether it be driving in the car, listening to a worship CD at home, or in your job and taking 10 minutes out just to pray. You know, God can speak to us through our prayers and through our times of personal devotion. And finally, and this is not conclusive, God can speak to us however he wishes. He's God at the end of the day. But these are some of the things that are noted in Scripture and that we can see how God still speaks today. And that is through dreams and visions. Scripture is just packed with people who experienced spiritual dreams, messages from God, visions from God. God speaking to them through dreams and visions. And for myself, I would say this is perhaps one of the more common ways in which God speaks to me, and that is through dreams. And just a couple of weeks ago, it was in the middle of the night, and I was awoken by a very vivid dream that I was having. And in my bedroom, I was standing by my window, and outside there was a storm, and the hail was coming down, and the wind was blowing, and it was thunder and lightning, and it was just a really bad storm. And my window kept in the dream now, just opening, and as I went to shut it, the window kept opening. And as I went to close it again, the window kept opening. And then in my dream, this person came in the dream. And I saw this person in my dream, and I connected that this person is going through a storm right now. And I woke up, and Adam had woken up at the same time, and he thought he could smell smoke. So he went off to do the manly house check and came back upstairs, and he said, "You all right?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "I've just had a really vivid dream." And he said, "All right." So I briefly told him what it was about and thought this person, you know, in the dream was in the dream. And he said, "Oh, that's really interesting," he said, "because I've just, you know, this person has come to mind, and this person was the husband of this person that had come to me in my dream." So we really had one of those God moments where we knew God was obviously communicating to us, you know, prompting us, urging us to pray for these people. And so we didn't know what the situation was, but we obviously assumed that this was a, you know, difficult time in these people's lives. And we just spoke in tongues and prayed over them, and in the middle of the night just prayed for this couple. And often you will get a dream that is vivid. Sometimes we get dreams and it's because we've eaten too late the night before and things are on our mind or we're anxious about something. But when we have a dream that's from God, you kind of know deep down that there's more to it than just being a vivid dream. And often God will kind of give us a message through our dreams. And it's often for the good of other people, to pray or to go and encourage or to do something. And sometimes it's for ourselves, for our own lives, maybe a warning, maybe an encouragement, maybe, you know, do this. And God can speak to us through dreams and visions. With me so far? Okay, we're moving on now. We're going to look at how can we recognize his voice, recognizing God's voice. Now, as believers, we can recognize God's voice. Hearing from God is not like receiving a text message or an email, because sometimes, as humans, we can get in the way, and sometimes we can hear what we want to hear rather than what God is actually saying to us. And in these situations, we do need to exercise wisdom and discernment and common sense. And so these are concrete steps we can take to help us discern if we are hearing from God or we are just hearing from last night's pizza. Number one is to test. The Bible encourages us to test things. Is it in line with Scripture? If we feel we are hearing from God something, whether it be through a word of Scripture or a dream, or we just have a sense in our spirit to do something or go and tell somebody something, God, is this message from you? Is this message from you, Lord, or is it just my own thoughts and desires and feelings? Is this message from you? Test it with Scripture. Is it consistent with who you are, God? Is it in line with your attributes and your character? Is it in line with your word? Or are there other voices getting into my head? So check things with Scripture. And also a good practical thing to ask ourselves is, well, would Jesus do this? Would Jesus do this? So test. Secondly, wisdom. Another concrete step we can take to help us discern whether God is speaking to us is to exercise wisdom. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. And so wisdom, what is wisdom? Wisdom is an increased ability to tell right from wrong. See these silver hairs underneath this black hair here that Nice and Easy hasn't quite covered? They say a silver head or a head of white hair is a sign of wisdom, isn't it? And often in life, we learn through our mistakes. We learn through the mistakes of others. But we can learn to become wiser as we travel and journey with God. Wisdom is the increased ability to tell right from wrong. It's using practical discernment to make wise decisions in difficult circumstances. So exercise wisdom. And thirdly, accountability and belonging. Another step we can take to help us decide to discern whether God is speaking to us or not is to be accountable. Now, we belong, don't we? Our sense of belonging here at church is in God's family. When we make that decision to follow Jesus, we become part of God's family, and so we belong to one another in a sense. And also, accountability is really important as Christians, that we're kind of in with the vision of the church, that we're aligning ourselves with the vision of the church, and we're kind of being sensible and wise in the choices and decisions we make, not just for our own lives, because it affects the rest of us at times. So accountability is really important. So when we sense God may be speaking to us, speak to people that we trust. Speak to people that we see as wise, honest, and spiritually mature, whether that's a small group leader, a leader, somebody in the church you know who's, you know, really wise and exercises discernment. You know, speak to people if we're unsure. It's always good to check things out. Now, obviously, if we're talking about things like, you know, I really feel God is saying to me, you know, to go and encourage that person next week. Take them up for a coffee or buy them a bunch of flowers. You know, that's kind of, yeah, do that. That's good, isn't it? That's not going to harm anyone. That's not going to have repercussions or cause anybody any problems. But with the bigger decisions of life, if we feel God is speaking to us about perhaps uprooting one's life and moving to a foreign country and packing in our job, that is something to be accountable is helpful, because there will be repercussions and huge things happening from an act like that. So it's really helpful to be accountable, to chat that over, to say, look, I really feel God is saying this. Will you pray about this with me? Will you speak into my life? And what do you think, to a wise person or to a leader? Because that can be really helpful. I know for myself, there are those people in my life who out of kindness would perhaps say, yeah, that sounds great, go for it. Oh, that sounds really good. But I also know that there are those people in my life who are honest enough to say, well, actually, maybe that's something for the future. Or actually, Think about this and think about the repercussions. Yes, God may be speaking to you right now about this, but maybe you've heard it a little bit differently, or maybe you need to, you know, put that on the shelf for now, seek God on it, get more confirmation, and maybe that is something for the future. And it's those people who are honest enough to say and to come alongside and to speak into our lives that we need to hear from on the bigger decisions of life, where we feel God may be speaking to us, for example. So if you feel God may be saying, you know, go to Timbuktu and open an elephant sanctuary, talk to people about it, be accountable, exercise discernment, common sense, wisdom, speak to people. But obviously, as God is saying, you know, go and speak to Surinder next week, you know, she could do with a bit of encouragement, buy her a bunch of flowers or something. You know, that's not going to harm anybody, is it? And I'm sure as we grow and mature as Christians, when we are prompted by God to do those things, as we do them, we will really see the fruit of the obedience that we have. I remember a lady, I heard about a lady once who used to keep all her 20 pences in a bottle at home. And she used to save up all these little 20 pences, and every couple of weeks, or every so often, she would buy a bunch of flowers. And she would say, Lord, who would you like me to give these flowers to this week? And this was sort of like her little ministry. And it was a powerful ministry because she was taking the time out to think about other people, to consider other people, and to ask God, who, you know, would need a word of encouragement this morning? Who's going through a hard time? Who just needs to know your love and your care and the fact that you've, you know, laid somebody on my heart? And this woman would, you know, go and give a bunch of flowers to somebody every so often from her little 20 pences. And every time she would do this, she would really bless somebody, or a person may be feeling, gosh, God really does love me. God really does care because he's bothered enough to lay me on that person's heart. And as we are kind of open to God and hearing his voice, you know, it's not just about our lives. It's about blessing other people, isn't it? And it's about, you know, sharing our lives and being outward looking to bless people. And so when we're hearing from God, let's have our eyes open and our ears open to see who God wants to bless and through us, through using us. Okay, hearing God's voice, responding to his voice. So we've looked at ways in which God speaks to us, recognizing his voice, and now what about responding to his voice? This takes guts, just like Bill Hybels' book is called, Hearing God and Having the Guts to Respond. Because sometimes it's nerve-wracking, sometimes we're a bit fearful, sometimes we're rushed and don't have the time. But when we take the time out to heed and hear God's voice, great things can happen. So hearing God's voice is natural. He speaks to us in the everyday natural moments of life. Why? Because he wants to be in relationship with us. And that is the nuts and bolts of Christianity. That is what this good news message of the gospel is all about. The fact that God loved us so much that he sent his son Jesus to die for us in our place because we were separated from God because of what the Bible calls sin. All those things that we do wrong, think wrong, say wrong, do wrong. And because there is this kind of separation between us, humankind, and God, Jesus came. And he sacrificed his life. He died the most horrific death of crucifixion on a cross in our place to take all the sin that we have ever done and will ever do. And when we come to recognize Jesus as that gift from God in our place, that we may have a relationship with Jesus, that we may have our sins, all that stuff that we sometimes do wrong, forgiven, that we have a clean slate and a fresh start, and the hope of eternity in heaven with Jesus, that is what Christianity is about. That is the simplest, kindest way to explain how God came because he first loved us. He took the punishment. He took our sin away through Jesus. And when we decide as human beings to accept that gift, which is the gift of God, of salvation, we have a fresh start and an eternity in heaven. A new life here on earth where we start afresh and walk in a relationship with him. And so it's because God wants to be in relationship with us that he communicates with us. He's not God up there and we are humankind down here getting on with it and fumbling around in the dark. God is in relationship with us when we commit our lives to him and say sorry for the things we've done wrong and start a relationship with him. God can speak to us in the everyday moments of life. So we may not get to become a prophet for the nations or interpret dreams for a king, but we might hear God ask us to do something for him. And so how do we respond? Going back several years ago, our daughter Naomi was having a dedication in the Sunday morning service. And so friends and family came along, and my father came along. At that time, he was alive and he wasn't a Christian. And he was kind of like, oh, it's great that you've got a church and believe what you believe. That's wonderful, but leave me alone. I'm okay, Jack. And over the years, it had been difficult. What is it with family sometimes? You know, to speak about spiritual matters can be very difficult sometimes, can be awkward, tense, picking the right moment. And sometimes it's difficult, and sometimes we've just got to do things afraid. Well, anyway, my father came through the door, and Sarah Richards, who's one of the senior leaders here in the church, had a chat with my dad, and he went to sit down, and I brushed past Sarah, and she said, Sian, she said, I just got a real sense in my spirit that your father's not got long to live. And at that time, he was in his 70s, he had a bit of high blood pressure, you know, nothing really wrong with him, he was fit and well and active. And I took that word from God seriously. And so I knew I had to respond to this. And at the time, it was like, oh, gosh, that's a bit of a shock. And she was very, very caring and careful how she communicated what she sensed God was saying to her about my dad. And so I had to respond. I had to make the opportunity happen in however much time he had left to be able to sit down with him and talk about spiritual matters. Because at the end of the day, we're all going to die. We are all going to kick it. And so, it's really important, isn't it, as Christians, that we're responding to the voice of God when it comes to reaching out and talking about Jesus to our friends and family. And sometimes it's difficult, and sometimes we've just got to do it, not leave it to chance. And obviously, about 18 months later, my father did pass away, and I had the opportunity and the privilege to sit with him and talk to him about God and heaven and choices and things. I thankfully had the opportunity and made the opportunity happen to pray with him, and he prayed the prayer after me and all the rest of it. And when he did die, I was at complete peace knowing that he was going to heaven and I'd see him again. And you know, sometimes in life we pray for opportunities, don't we? Oh, Lord, give me the opportunity to speak to my neighbour. Oh, Lord, give me the opportunity to speak to my friend or colleague in work. And sometimes the opportunities are there every day facing us. And the choice is ours. Do we respond or do we leave it to chance? What if Moses hadn't responded to God? What if Noah didn't respond? Think about those things sometimes. So in order to hear God's voice, we must be listening and ready to act. And like Samuel in the Old Testament, who heard the audible voice of God call out to him, Samuel said, "Here I am. Here I am, Lord, your servant is listening." So when we are communing with God, talking to God, going about our lives, let's say those words, "Lord, today I'm really listening for you. Speak to me through your Holy Spirit. What do you want me to do? Is there somebody you want me to reach out to and bless? Is there somebody you want to give me a word of encouragement for?" Let's be open. Let's be available. Let's be willing. And let's be listening. So in conclusion then, we have the Bible. And in Hebrews 4:12, it says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." And so we have the Bible. We have the Holy Spirit. John 14:16-17. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And so when we become Christians, when we make that decision to follow Jesus in our lives, The Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us. We have the Holy Spirit. We're not left alone. God sent the Holy Spirit to live within us. And so in hearing from God's voice, we have the Bible, we have the Holy Spirit and our own hearts to help us hear God's voice. God responds to willing hearts. In Revelation 3 verse 20, it says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, with that person, and they with me." And that's talking about God. That's talking about Jesus knocking on the door of a person's life. If that person decides to open their heart and life to God, God promises to come in and live with them. God never forces us to obey him. God never forces us to obey. He waits for our willing response to his call. And so let's turn our ear to heaven. There's a song that we sing, "Turn your ear to heaven and hear the sound inside." And so let us, as Christians here this morning, turn our ears to heaven to be open, to be wise, to be discerning, and to be willing to act when we hear the voice of God. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, I thank you so much that you don't leave us alone. You never abandon us. You say in your word that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And for each person here this morning, Lord, whatever situation we may be in, I pray that they would hear those words resounding right now in their spirit, that you will never leave them or forsake them. And I thank you, Lord, that through your Holy Spirit, which you have given to us, we can hear your voice today. And I pray for each and every one of us from today, Lord, would just heed your voice, be open and listening and willing to act. And I pray, Lord, that in weeks to come, we'd have great stories to tell. Great stories to tell how you have reached out to other people and used us, Lord, to bless others. So I thank you so much, Jesus, that you love us and you do speak to us. And I pray that we would be a church that hears your voice. In Jesus' name, amen.